All right, we're talking about the end times. Now, we've got numerous people going through. The saved are going in the rapture. Those that heard but rejected and they die before the rapture, they go where? They go down into hell. And hell is a prison kind of thing. It's not like you're burning hell forever. You know, your parent says, you'll go to hell forever. That's not true. Hell's not a permanent place. But there is a place after the 1,000 years called the Lake of Fire, and that's after the Great White Throne Judgment, and that is forever and ever, and that's in Isaiah 66. So, they heard but rejected. Then we talked about some people that had never heard, so they neither rejected or accepted, and they're probably in what they call death. You know, we talked about that in Revelation. They can't go to heaven. Why? They never received it, and they didn't hear it, so they couldn't reject it. You see? So that person cannot go in the rapture and cannot go down to hell. They have no reason to be punished. Okay? So, but then there are those that have never heard, but they live in to the tribulation period. Then we heard about those that heard, rejected, and lives in the tribulation period. What happened with those that heard? A strong delusion. God's going to send them a strong delusion. I believe that strong delusion will be the Antichrist. There may be others, but that will be the primary delusion. Okay? And I want to kind of pick up in that mind. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope it will be a blessing. I want to talk about those that go into the tribulation. They've heard and they rejected and they're going into the tribulation period. That's where we're going to pick up. We talked a little bit about this last time, but I want to kind of end it in. I want to note tonight everybody that is going into the tribulation period. So get your chart out. By the way, we will probably have some charts. We're working on it. We do have charts. We do have charts available. And you on the internet could literally call in and get those here in as soon as we finish them up. We just haven't had time to put the final spill on them. Go, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come except there be a falling away first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Well, 4 is the verse I'm getting to. I'm just catching into the context. 4 is what I want. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So, now listen, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See the deception? You say, well, why would anybody believe that? Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Now watch this. Hold on to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to turn back. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Verse 13. You know that can't be good. 13:13 has got to be bad no matter how you slice it in a Bible. And he doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. How? By the means of those miracles. Now, I do not find it unique. Really, I don't find this unique at all. That the end of grace that you would start to see signs being done. Why would I not find that unique? And yet, today, guess what? There is no Israel. Should there be any signs being done? No. God's not doing any signs. God has, in sense, taken his hands off the planet for 2,000 years. The devil is doing signs, and that's the point. Paul warns about this activity during the age of what? Grace. Why? You don't need any signs. So why are signs being done? You know, more and more, what are we seeing in the Pentecostal realm? Well, lying signs and wonders. Why? Now you say, well, can't God do that? Well, God can do anything he wants except this. He can't go against his word. So now we know what signs are for, right? Let's hold on. Hold on to Revelation 13. We're going to turn right back. And hold on to 2 Thessalonians. And go to 1 Corinthians. Boy, everybody's jumping on it like they're hound dogs on a hunt. You can't, this church, I mean, I'm telling you, there's some excitement when they know a passage, buddy. They want you to know they know it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Anybody got the verse? 22. Watch this. Verse 22, very important verse. Everybody read with me. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. What do the Jews require?
A sign.
Well, look in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Verse 22, 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Wherefore, everybody read with me. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, which was Israel, but prophesying servants on and on. What do Jews require?
A sign.
Were tongues a sign?
Yes.
Do we need tongues today?
No.
And therefore the confusion. There's a lot of people, quote, speaking in tongues. Now what is Satan going to use? Go back to Revelation 13. What is, I know this freaks you out, doesn't it, Carl? I mean, this stuff isn't all that difficult, but I'm going to throw a few more verses in here. Listen, there is a deception coming, and the deception has to do with miracles. You know what? Listen, if someone came to me and took a dollar bill, just a regular old dollar bill, right? And they took that dollar, and they started tearing it.
Dirty money.
You could spit it right back in it. That's pretty good. Thank you. Thank you, Hannah. Anyway, people start doing signs. Am I going to believe it's of God?
No.
Why? The Jews require it. It's in the wrong place. It's in the wrong dispensation. It's in the wrong thing. Aren't there a lot of people doing signs today? Benny Hinn, all the rest? Well, you got, obviously, if you're a student of Scripture, you ought to be going, something's not right here, because I know what signs are for. Signs are... The Jews require a sign. Tongues are for a... Well, I'm not a Jew. Why would he be using it in Gentile churches? If nevertheless just that point be made. But in Revelation 13, the thing that does the deception, verse 13 again, Revelation 13, 13, and he doth great wonders so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by, everybody, the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast. That's getting them involved in what? Idolatry. Who said that? Gene, I heard that come out of your mouth. I'm going to give you a double kiss when you leave here tonight. One for being sweet and one for being such a student. Come on, guys, that's exactly right. It's idolatry. He's trying to get them involved in idolatry. He's doing these signs. He's trying to get them to worship an idol. And then he gives, in verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So that image is what going to do what? Come to life. Verse 16, and he causes all. How many?
All.
That's a lot. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and on and on. Now, they're going to believe he's God. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. Now, you're not learning here. It isn't my fault. And I can tell you what, most churches, you'd be having a Christmas play right now. A little singing cantata, and I love music. I do. I love it to death. But this is a whole lot better than that. Amen? Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to start in verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Now watch this. Even him who is coming after the working of who?
Satan.
With what? All power, signs, and lying wonders. What is Satan going to be coming with? All power, signs, and lying wonders. You know what I would put right by that verse? Revelation 13, verse 13, wouldn't you? That's what I would write in my Bible right there, if I was a real Bible student. Because you know what? This is what I know about Bible students. They don't have good memories. But if they have great notes, good notes make good students. Okay? So, now watch this. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. Well, what would be the strong delusion? That this Lucifer, this Antichrist, would go around doing miracles and deceive them by the means of those miracles. Revelation 13, I think that's what, verse 14? I'd put that right next to that verse. See, guys, I believe that there has been a corruption of Christendom. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, hang on, maybe 2 Corinthians. Give me just a second here. Yes, 2 Corinthians 11, I'm sorry. Now listen to this that is very fascinating in Paul's writing. And when you hear this, all the other stuff we've just talked about should make a very important statement. See, there are people living in the world today that I believe that are going to go beyond the rapture into the tribulation. Here's who I believe. Write this down. You need to write this down. I believe there are Gentiles that have heard and rejected that are going to live into the tribulation. I believe that there are Gentiles that have never, ever heard that are going to live into that tribulation. If they heard the gospel, are they responsible to the gospel? Yes, they are. There are those that have heard and rejected that are going to live into the tribulation. What is God going to do? What do you think is going to be some of that delusion? Miracles, wonders, and signs and lying wonders. And that is going to deceive them. They are going, listen to me, it's not going to be one or two of these guys. It's going to be the majority of the population. And let me tell you, can you see a strange unity happening in the world today? Do you see that? That's all going to come in and everybody's going to be one in religion. And you know what we look like? Who said that? Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, we're almost like, I mean, I hate to say this, but you're almost like the radical fundamentalist Islamic people, the jihadists of the Christian movement. You are the fundamentalists of the Word of God. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You're it. You believe the Bible. Literally. You know what the Islamic fundamentalists do? They believe the Quran. Literally. You know where the mushy-mushy stuff gets? Is the liberal. It's like the United Methodists and, you know, some of these Unitarians. They're very close. I mean, it's almost mystical stuff. Very vague. God's vague. They can't define God. Well, I can define who God is. God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who died on that cross is Jesus Christ. I don't believe it's some vague, ambiguous thought. I believe in very defined truths in this Bible. You know how many churches do? Not many. And so we're stuck with the dilemma. Well, look what Paul warned the Corinthians of. Now remember, this isn't at the end of grace. It's really back here at the start of grace. Now listen to what he warns them of. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Read with me. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. What do these people do?
Transform.
Do they look like hellions?
No.
No, they don't look. They look like that religious group that followed Jesus Christ. He's warning you that there are going to be people that look like the 12 apostles that followed Jesus Christ. Now, today that sounds like that would be really hip. Watch this. And no marvel, for Satan himself shall be transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their what?
Works.
You see that? It's going to be according to their works. Well, you can't have works in grace. So during the period of time, they're going to be doing, and people are going to look at these people and say, man, these are mighty men of God. Look at the works they've done. How do they treat the guy in Oklahoma? Oral Roberts. I don't know if he's still living. I think he died. But how did they treat him? They lift him up pretty big, don't they? How about Benny Hinn? Highly esteemed? Well, the Bible says whatever is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. What would they think if they saw this church? They have Bible classes bigger than this. There's people teaching Sunday school bigger than this. What a joke. Well, that's the whole point. See, we look like a joke compared to them, but if it really came down to fighting the issues and talking about the issues, I can defend the book. I can't defend me, but I can defend the book. And he warns them that, hey, look, these people are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In my mind, why would you warn something about somebody becoming an apostle? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Except what do apostles do? Miracles, wonders, and signs. And what would be wrong for today? Miracles, wonders, and signs. See, they're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. How about Benny Hinn? Does he have apostolic powers? Well, no, he probably doesn't have the power, but does he claim to have the power? Come on, guys. If he's talking to God, then the word of God to the Gentiles have not been fulfilled. It's not been complete. There's further translation and further on and on. I mean, this whole thing becomes a rumbling mess of problematic situations. Why is Paul warning them about these people that would transform themselves into the apostles of Christ? He didn't want them deceived. And you know what? There was going to be some great deceiving. And isn't it weird in the last 40 years, we never heard of the big Pentecostal movements. Now look what's happened in the last 40 years. Who's basically running Christendom? Charismatic Pentecostalism. Isn't it? Isn't that weird? Where are the fundamental churches? They've become itty-bitty. And that's in the turn of the century, there were some fundamental Methodist church. In fact, I met a fundamental Methodist preacher who rightly divided the word of truth. Say, is that possible? Absolutely. He did a great job. And there were many preachers and teachers at the turn of the century rightly dividing the word of truth. Where have they all gone? Hey, it's not popular. What do people want? They want 2 hours of music and 15 minutes of motivational speaking, and thus Joel fills up the entire Colosseum there. I mean, come on. And they're filling them up. Tonight is loaded in churches, piled full of people, all that, and they couldn't tell you anything about the word of God. They're loaded with people that have no information. And so, what happens if the rapture happens? Boom! They're going in, nothing in their mind changes. How many people do you think you know that believes in signs and miracles and wonders from God right now today? Almost the majority of us. I bet it's true of you all on the internet. So, what would you think God would do in the middle of the tribulation? Miracles, wonders, and signs. And so guess who they're going to be deceived by? God, by the, what's the deception? The Antichrist. It's been brewing that way. It started back here in the 50s, you know, and it's grown and it's grown and it's going to grow and grow until finally that delusion will be so strong it will deceive all. Only the elect will know that there's something different. Y'all understand? So there are those Gentiles that have not heard today that are going to go in. There are those that did hear and are going to be alive. The ones that go in that have heard and rejected, what is God going to do? They're going to get a strong delusion. And I believe that's it right there. Everybody okay with that? Then there are those that have never heard and they go in the tribulation. Now, this happens to be, in this illustration, Gentiles. What happens to the Gentiles that go in? Now, they've never heard the gospel. They've never rejected. They've never gotten involved in signs. They've never done all that. What happens to them? Well, yeah, but how do they do that? The Jews start to go out and they preach a gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel of the kingdom. And what is that gospel? Someone just said it. The gospel that the kingdom is at hand. Now, as he's preaching that to the Jews, what would the Gentiles say? Okay, that's great for the Jews, but what do we do? That's great for the Jews, but what do we do? And what would he have told them? He would have taken them back to that covenant of Genesis chapter 12 back here in the Old Testament and would have said, that's what you need to do over there. So let's look at that. Go to Matthew first, 25, 24, 25, just pick anyone. Not bad for a stressed out old preacher, is he? Guys, listen to me. This stuff is so stinking important, I can't stress to you how important it is. You know what? Listen, knowledge is power. The more you know, the safer you'll be from all deceptions. Now, I want to start. This is what they're going to be preaching. Verse 13, Matthew 24, verse 13. But he shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What part of the gospel is that? Or what gospel is that? It has to do with the gospel of the kingdom. There's few things that the gospel of the kingdom says. Here's a list of the gospel of the kingdom. This is for the Jews. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom is one they have to believe. What is it that they have to believe? They have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, do they have to believe that Christ died for their sins?
No.
Not even important. They have to believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Oh, let's do this in order. Shall we? We shall, shall we? Matthew 21, I believe it is. Nope. Matthew 16. I'm sorry, 21.
Enduring to the end. Obviously, there's some people who will lay down their life. So is it enduring unto the end of tribulation or the end of one's life because they didn't accept the mark of the beast?
Either or. The whole thing is enduring, and you can get that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, I think is... We'll probably tie that into these passages pretty quick, but absolutely. I mean, I don't think it would be the end of the tribulation and or the end of your life, whichever comes first. Matthew 16. Yeah, I want verse 16. Well, I'm going to start in verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? The testimony that what? Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That rock. And I'll build my church upon it. That is the primary. Now, did they know that he was going to die for their sins? No, it was a mystery. You know, he told them right here in verse 21 that they're like, what did Peter say? Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not happen to thee. Remember? He didn't believe that he was going to die. So they believe that Jesus Christ is what? The Son of the living God. Number two, they have to be baptized in water and later get baptized in the, got it? Required for salvation. How do I know that? Go to Mark 16. Watch this. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. Look, if you will, in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom to every what? Which included, by the way, these what? Never hearing Gentiles and the dispensation of grace would be included in that. Right? And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What about if you believeth and is not baptized?
You're not.
If you believe, you would be baptized.
Absolutely. Water baptism is a requirement. And guess who teaches that, by the way? Church of Christ. That doctrine is actually solid in the wrong dispensation. You understand? True in that dispensation, wrong in this dispensation. Again, kind of like these sign deals. Signs are okay, aren't they? They're just not right for this dispensation. Y'all understand? So is water baptism okay? Yeah, but not for this dispensation. Okay?
We got it.
We'll wait here.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. You got to be martyrs. You got to endure unto the end. Question George brought up. Grab a couple passages. Go to Matthew chapter 10. He's warning, he's teaching them what they have to do. Matthew chapter 10, everybody there? Verse 38, watch this. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Well, what happened at the end of the cross? He died. And then he says, he that findeth his life shall what? Well, how would a person find his life? They would take a mark of the beast in the tribulation. If you take the mark of the beast, if you take that mark in the tribulation, guess what? You lose your life. You got it? No hope for life after that. It's over. Done deal. Katie barred the door. Y'all understand? It's over. Now, but he that loses his life for my sake shall what? that person that says, hey, I don't care if you're going to chop my head off or not. Just like example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, when they were told to bow down to the great image, they said, I don't care if you kill me or not. I ain't bowing down to your stupid image. And this guy says, well, crank that furnace up 7 times hotter. And they threw them in, and they survived. You know what? You got to be willing to go all the way to the end to be this kind of a saint. You all understand? You know why? Here it is. They're going to be born again. Say that term. Born again from the dead. You will never be born again. You're a new creature in Christ. But they will be born again from the dead. And you can look in the resurrection of Israel as a nation in Ezekiel 37. And you can see the whole thing laid out if you want. God is going to allow these people to die. And God has the power over the grave. And He'll pull them up. And they will be a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And they will put the thing together. Guys, this is complicated, but it's not hard. Endure. Say, well, what are they supposed to endure onto? The end of the life, and he says if he does, he'll find it. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Watch how it works. You don't get this at regular church. Revelation 2, verse 9. Read with me. George, this is the answer to your question. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Why? What happens to the saints in the middle of the tribulation, by the way?
They're fleeing
into the what? Into the mountains and the hills, and you know they're going into the mountains and hills, and they're going to be hit there about how long? Approximately
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Are many going to die? Yep, they're going to die. And by the way, going back to the gospel here, we'll bring up another point to all that. By the way, I'm going to let someone stand up and show me what was selling out all about. Why did Jesus tell them to sell out all that they have? I mean, hang on, let me reword this. What are they teaching the other churches about it?
It's spiritual. It's a spiritual.
How many here have been to another church that taught that about selling out all that you own?
They
don't really mean it? When they talk about the selling out, and let me give you the verses, Matthew 6, verse 19, Luke chapter 12, verse 33, you know, those kind of passages. What do they teach you about it? I mean, you know, it's amazing to me. I thought about this a lot. This room ought to be absolutely full. Amen? I mean, really. It almost mind-boggles me that people don't get it. Not because I'm a great teacher, because I stink as a teacher, but I think the truth is amazing. The truth is incredible.
Perfect example. Men just love in darkness more than light.
Well, you got that right, brother. These people are in poverty. Now, I want you to write a passage there, right where it says poverty in your Bible, and put Luke chapter 12. I'm going to go from, I think, no, it is. Then we need to go further down. It ends in 33, so probably around 24. So Luke 12, verse 24 through 33. Put that in. That'd be safe. It'll get you close enough that you'll be able to act like you're smart. Now, watch this. Their poverty. Now, get back. But thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but are not, and are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. This is also important. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, didn't say all, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You know what you have to have there? Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, right there in your Bible. What did Matthew 10? Said, if you seek to gain your life, you'll lose it, and those that will lose it for my sake shall find it. Got it? You got it? So, what happens? They have to be faithful unto death. Which would also include, but some of them have to endure on the end if they don't die. All the way to the end, until the second coming. You got it? Faithful unto death, or unto the end. Revelation 2 talked about those that are unto death. Now, the selling out. The other part of the gospel, number 4, that's the enduring. 4 is what? Selling out. Now, why would they sell out? Why would back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people say, well, I want to do what Jesus did. Then bless God, sell out all and quit acting like you are a Joe Christian. Don't tell me you're a Joe Christian. Just sell out everything you got. Oh, I believe in doing what Jesus did. Oh, you do not. Say, well, I do too. I want to do everything that Jesus did. And he told you to sell out. Why didn't you do that? Well, he didn't mean to do that literally. What, are you crazy? You would be blind as a bat, boyfriend. All right. You all understand? I mean, these people don't believe this Bible. Go to Luke chapter 12. Now, this is very important. Luke 12, verse 24. Now, watch. He's talking to the Jews. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. How many here have to work? If you don't work, what? Can anybody give me that verse? 2 Thessalonians. Come on, I'll give you a dollar. Come on, anybody? Brilliant Bible students? 3 verse 10. All right, I got it. I'll keep my dollar. Consider the ravens, for they need... It's the only church you can actually go home richer than you actually started with, you know? It's kind of nice. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouses or barn. God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowl? He's setting them up. And he says, which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And if you then not be able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory were not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat. And buddy, today I was seeking what I was going to eat. I was in that refrigerator. It was all kinds of good stuff. I'm trying to figure out what won't kill me first. He says, seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everybody, verse 33, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, nor... Hey, what is he telling you to do? Sell out. What do they do in Acts chapter 2?
Sell out.
Look at it. They sold out. Why? Look at this. Acts chapter 2. Go there. Verse 44. Acts 2. Verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And everybody read with me. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as what? Every man had need. You see that? So they literally took what he said in Luke 12 and did it. Amen? And they do it again in Acts chapter 4, verse 31 through the end of the verse. Or the end of the chapter. You got it? They believed in literally selling out. You say, well, why would they do that? The answer is in Matthew 24. Go to Matthew 24. The answer is in Matthew 24. And you'll understand why Jesus had them do that. Now, you're not going through the tribulation, right? How do you know that? Hang on. Did you hear? How do you know you're not going through the tribulation? Romans chapter 5, 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. That's how you know you're not going through the tribulation. Amen? God's not appointed you unto wrath. Okay? So he told us three times, we're not going through. Right? You're not going through the wrath. Now, if you're lost, you may go through the wrath. And what is God going to do to you? No doubt, because you've heard the gospel. There isn't any doubt that what's going to happen. You don't have to question it. And there isn't any repenting that will bring you back into the fold. There's no gospel that you can believe. You will be deceived. God said you would be. But these people were literally told to sell out. Look, if you will, in verse 13 again. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world and a witness unto all, as a witness unto all nations. Why? Because those nations have to get to a place we're going to get to probably next week, because we're running out of time. Now, listen very carefully. Verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and that's why we're studying the book of Daniel. You see, that's what we've been doing. We got all that time figured in. And that's why we're studying the book of Daniel, so that we understand the abomination of desolation. And he stands in the holy place. Where would I put that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 in my Bible, right there. You need to write it in. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, right there. Stand in the holy place. He claims himself to be God. And I might put Revelation 13, verse 13 through about 16, right there, if I was you. Of course, you don't have to, but if you do, you'll be smarter. Whosoever read, let him understand. Now watch this. Verse 16. Let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let not him which is in the housetop not come down and take anything of it out of his house. If you were going into the mountains for 3.5 years, Gene, what would you take? You'd grab some food out of the refrigerator.
Water.
Some clothes. Carl? Carlton? Carl, what would you do if you were going in the mountains? 3.5 years.
Medical supplies,
very good.
You have to have matches. And
matches and some things. What else?
Camping equipment.
Camping equipment, of course. So why would Jesus tell them to sell out everything they have? They would be tempted to come back and gather up and stuff their SUVs full of stuff, and they're not going to have time. So the only way to flee this temptation is not to have anything to worry about. Why? Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor... And God feedeth them. How much more? The idea is they're going to go into the tribulation. They have to sell out. If they have anything left, what are they going to be tempted to do? Gather it and keep it as if that's their inheritance. What is their inheritance? It's the priesthood, isn't it? Isn't Israel promised the priesthood?
Amen.
Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Right? Gene, you do believe that, don't you? All right, good. When he stands in the holy place, when he claims himself to be God, and they say, no, that's impossible. How do they know? There is one full week left, and he's not God, because God can't come until the end of the 70th week. TV and communication will play a part in all this. And computers, you can bet it.
You can't go to a bank without a big friend TV being there.
No, I'm telling you, everybody will know. No, I mean, he thinks he's going to rule the world. That's why he's standing on the throne. Now, when they see that, they're to flee. Look at it again. Now, watch this. Let him which is on the housetop, verse 17, not come down to take anything out of his house. How do they prevent that? Luke chapter 12, verse 33, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Matthew 19, verse 17 through 21. Those are the three passages that tell you to sell out. Neither let him which is in the field return to take his clothes. You see how that works, Gene? You can't take your clothes. Why? Consider the lilies. He clothes them. You remember that verse? Luke chapter 12, verse 25 or 26. Right? He's going to clothe them. Is he going to clothe you? I mean, these people, you know. Yes, he's going to clothe them. He says, woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, and pray your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, and then shall be great tribulation. So from that point on, from the middle of the tribulation on to the second coming is called the great tribulation. Jacob's time is the 70th week. But the tribulation, the great tribulation, is there going to be false peace over here? False peace. And we're about to see that start happening. I'm just telling you, be prepared. Things are going to calm down a little bit. After this major financial catastrophe, by the way, did anybody catch Iceland's riots? They're so broke, and that was one of the wealthiest nations in the world, are so broke that people are rioting in the streets. They have only aired it a few times. It's amazing to me. The whole economy is shut down. Iceland. The whole country is shut down. They're computer whizzes or something. They're all broke. They instantly became broke. And all this is going to happen then, but all of a sudden we're going to have a single world currency. It's coming, guys. So, Euro was just a step in it. It's coming. Let them which is in the housetop. So if you sold out everything you had, guess what? Temptation wouldn't take you. Temptation wouldn't take you. So they were to sell out five. They were to do what? Keep the commandments and follow him. Now that wouldn't help a Gentile, would it? What happened if a Gentile sold out everything he had? He couldn't help the Jew. The Jews are going to become what? Poor. That's why they were called the poor saints at Jerusalem. Because they sold out, they had nothing. And guess what the Gentiles have to do in order to be saved? Remember? Never heard Gentiles go in there. Some of them are going to hear this gospel of the kingdom and realize they have to what? Bless a Jew. And some are going to curse a Jew. And that will separate these Gentiles right here. Do y'all understand? That have never, ever heard the gospel. Why, if they heard the gospel, then they either have to accept it or reject it. These can neither have done either of that. Why? They're going to become goats and sheep. Now, we're going to deal with that next time I talk on the subject. And guys, this stuff will answer every question you've ever had in the Bible.
What about the group that feared God and did works?
That's who we're talking about. Those would be the Gentile nations that bless. They feared God and they blessed them. They heard this gospel, knew God was going to save their nation Israel, and the only way for them to be saved was to find a Jew and bless him.
Do you think in the midst of all this chaos, will there be anybody teaching the right gospel to the Gentiles?
Yes. You mean now? In our over here? When they start to preach the gospel of the kingdom, the Gentiles will go, well, how can we be saved? We understand, what does a Jew have to do? A Jew has to believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, be baptized, sell out, keep the commandments, endure unto the end, on and on. All those things they've got to do. What happens if they miss one of them?
They're out.
And what was an example of that? Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. That's why God put it in the Bible.
Circumcision
would be involved with this. This is the circumcision. It's also called the gospel of the circumcision in Galatians chapter 2. Guys, listen, if you will put the picture in your mind, what's going on? We're already out of here. We're out of here. But there are obviously some Gentile nations that what? Never
heard.
Everybody, never heard. And then they will have a choice when they hear that gospel whether to
bless or to curse.
And you'll find that in Matthew 25, 31 through the end of the chapter, and we're going to read that next time. Any question up to this point?
Who's going to be preaching the gospel to them? We are all already gone.
The 12 and their cronies and the priests. So Matthew 25 is where he's quoting that, which we're going to cover next time we're in fellowship together of this subject. What we're going to do is discuss that. That's very important. Listen, they're not preaching, believe the gospel of the kingdom. Can a Gentile believe the gospel of the kingdom?
No,
because it's all Jewish stuff. God is going. Who is God going to save during the tribulation? The nation of Israel, you know that by Zechariah 13, you know that by Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. You know that God's interested in one nation. But he blesses those nations that bless those. And so in Matthew 24, he basically lays that stuff out. In Matthew 25, he tells them what? What the Gentiles have to do. And an example of that is who? Cornelius. Cornelius didn't have to repent and be baptized and sell out. He was blessing the Jew. He had to keep blessing them. Yes.
Well, in other words, the verse is not to a Gentile, it's specifically to the Jew to let them know what the Gentiles would have to do or would be for.
Absolutely. All right, any other questions? No, but they will ultimately go into that kingdom. And by the way, these that bless the Jew go into the kingdom. Does that give them eternal life?
No,
because at the end, he's going to release Satan at the end. And many, the Bible said, will be deceived. Now, that's hard for me to imagine. That's hard for me to imagine. Spend 1,000 years with the Lord Jesus Christ and someone's going to be fooled into following Satan again. That's weird to me.
God's here, and Jesus Christ be down here.
That's true. Yes. All right, any other questions? That's good. Guys, listen to me. This stuff is important. And are you starting to see how the picture of the puzzles are starting to fit together and why Daniel 9 is one of the most important prophecy of the entire Scriptures? I mean, by that, and we're once we deal with all the people, where do they go and what gospel are they hearing? Once we deal with that, then we're going to deal with the time of the tribulation, what's actually going to happen. After we're done with that, maybe we'll talk about Paul's your apostle.